What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Rummy and Ray Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Raymond Summerlin, and I'm joined, as I am every week, by the very best in the business, one Mr. Rumford Johnny. What's up, Johnny?
What's going on, Ray, man? Hope you had a good DFS week. My week was so-so. You know, kind of won most of my head-to-heads, which, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But speaking of playing DFS, Ray, listen, man. The good folks over at FanDuel, we've got a partnership with them now. If you go over to FanDuel, if you're a first-time user, and you sign up at FanDuel, you put in the promo code RUMMYRAY, you're going to get yourself a nice little hookup. You're going to get a slow deposit bonus, but you're also going to get an entry into a 50-50, and that's a first-time free 50-50, and you can get yourself some real money without having to put any money in for your first time. It's awesome. Again, go to FanDuel.com, you go to our homepage, enter the promo code RUMMYRAY, they'll hook you up.
And you go to our website, there's a link there, so it's really easy to get there. And that 50-50 play, I mean, that's awesome. That's not a rollover bonus, it's nothing like
that. Sir.
You're right in and you get it. So it's a great deal. We thank FanDuel for hooking us up. We're happy to have them on board. And so, you know, it's been a crazy little week in DFS with the goings on in New York. I'm not sure if what we're doing right now is legal. I don't particularly care.
That's all I care about.
Yeah, it's not happening in Texas because, you know, we don't regulate things around here.
That's right, man.
That's right. Move to Texas. But we're going to keep on doing it. I hope all of you get to continue playing. I think everybody's going to keep playing this weekend, at least. That's what I see on FanDuel. So that's good. But, you know, let your voice heard. You know, let people know that you want to be able to do with your money what you want to do with your money, and they probably should stay out of what you do. So let's get right into it. That's all I got to say on it. So let's get right into it. We'll always, as we do always, we'll talk about the five biggest games, the five biggest totaled games, and there's some really interesting plays in those five games. Then we'll hit some stacks on stacks on stacks on stacks. Then we'll hit some contrarian plays to really fill out those lineups. So the first game that we have, and it seems like we start with this team every single week, but the first game we have is the New England Patriots at the New York Giants. New England's 7-point road favorites. The game total is 54.5. 80% of the money right now is on New England, which we can talk about. I find that a bit surprising. The number is bouncing back and forth between 7.5 and 7, but it's a pretty good number. I think it'll end up somewhere around there. I definitely won't end up under that. New England has a individual team total of 30.75, which is the highest of the week. So I guess we can bounce right into this. Are you a little surprised at that number at 7, that it's that high?
I am. I think if anything, listen, the Giants, I think the Patriots are a better football team than the Giants.
Oh, absolutely.
But I do think that historically Tom Coughlin, you know, and his coaching staff have been able to find ways to pressure Tom Brady. Now, if you look at the offensive line of New England, they've essentially lost both of their left tackles to injuries recently. I mean, they lost, you know, Nate Solder and Vollmer, we still don't know about his status right now. It's still up in the air. So they're patchworking there.
And Cannon might come back this week. We don't know. Trey Jackson's definitely out this week. Yeah. I mean, they're a mess on the offensive.
And listen, to their credit, they've done a nice job. I mean, that coach has done a great job patchworking that offensive line. There's a lot of great young players that can play multiple positions. I mean, they had that Stork, who's essentially was our center last year, playing tackle. Since Andrews has been playing so well, and they can do that when you have well-coached players, you know, diverse players on an offensive line. The problem is that I agree with you right off the top that this line is a little strange to me. So I would certainly, you know, if that line stays there, I mean, if it doesn't have any movement, and you said it's already moved a little bit already, I definitely would be putting some money down on the Giants. I think it's going to be a close game. If this were in New England, I would say I probably would still feel pretty comfortable about New England with that line. But I think it's kind of, you know, it's one of those situations where I think it's going to be awfully close. It could come down to a field goal for me.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But what I would say is that the reason I'm surprised by this line is because I think a lot of people, especially the New England fans who have this tortured history with the Giants, I would think that they would you know, they would really I listen to the Bill Simmons podcast where they guess the lines with Cousin Sal, which is a really great podcast if you're into betting.
Bill Simmons?
Yeah, what? It's fun.
And
I don't think you know – I don't know if everybody knows this, but it turns out he likes the Patriots. I don't know. Did anybody know that?
Bill Simmons, he's a Patriots fan?
Yeah, it's surprising. Yeah, it's
okay.
Surprising.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, it's surprising. But anyway – and that's what he said, and it really clicked in my mind. Oh yeah, Patriots fans are terrified of the Giants, and so it was
it's
weird.
Just bad. It's just the history of
oh yeah,
of
it's just
bad
pain.
Luck. Really.
Exactly, it's just pain. Know. And yeah. So that's what surprised me about the line. But you know what's crazy about this? I still would like New England in this game. I've watched all the games, but especially the last 2 weeks, I've watched the Giants closely. That Tampa Bay game. They are not a good football team.
No, they're not.
They are just not, especially on defense. You know, Tampa Bay, if Mike Evans brings his hands to work yesterday or on Sunday, then they lose that game. And I bet Tampa Bay straight up in that game. And Tampa Bay had a really good chance to win it. You look at the final score and it shows a big difference. Tampa mm-hmm. Bay had it 20-18 or something like that. And we're close to winning, you know, we're driving to win that game. And they made a couple mistakes like young teams do. And the final score ended up looking like what it looked like. But the point is that Giants team is terrible. And yep. I quite like the Patriots in this game. However, I don't think I'm going to like Tom Brady as much as other people will, because people are going to look at this and think of the Giants and what happened 2 weeks ago yep. with Drew Brees and say, oh my God, what is Brady going to do? Mm-hmm. But the Giants have actually not been terrible outside of that game against Brees. And so Tom Brady, you know, he's the highest priced guy or the second highest priced guy at that price. I don't know how interested I am in him this week. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not interested at all in really the big three and Brady, Gronk, or Edelman. I think I did talk about this a little bit on Twitter this past week that I do think if you're going to play Gronk, this is probably the week to play him.
All the Gronk everywhere for me, but yeah. We'll talk about that.
But that's solo Gronk. I mean, I'm not stacking Gronk with any, you know, with Brady or any of that stuff. If you're just going to roll with Gronk, I'm more on Gronk, I think, in GPPs because I think people will be off him. Because the last couple of weeks, his numbers have been down. His price has been so high. I think he's going to start. And he has been slipping a little bit in terms of ownership. So I think this is an opportunity for people to look at the Thursday ownership on FanDuel and see where, you know, Gronk is projecting. Because then I'm buying if he's really sort of in that lower ownership, that single-digit ownership this week. Because I think you can then say, even at his price, you can still construct a really nice lineup. And, you know, he potentially has that two touchdown game, that nine catch over 100 yards, two touchdown type of game, that big Gronk game, that 30 point game. I think he has that, you know, opportunity in this matchup because Giants are terrible against tight ends. They're hurting at linebacker. And it just sets up beautifully for him to sort of go off in this game. Again, I talked about this last week, Ray, on this podcast, and I've talked about this before about the Patriots. I thought last week was really a solo Brady game, and aside from that bad decision in the red zone where he threw that pick, you know, he could have met the return on investment. He came slightly under, and people were pissed about that. But I think this is a week where it's potentially, you know, a good blunt week. I think that they're, again, because of the linebacker injuries that they have, it does set up nicely for Blunt that he could certainly, without Lewis in the mix, he could have another 18 to 20 carries easily as floor. And I think that just it sort of sets up to be that sort of basic game, you know, where Edelman catches, you know, 9-10 passes, doesn't have a huge, you know, yardage amount and probably maybe doesn't really find the red zone. But we see Gronk go off in this game, Blunt kills some clock, and Brady has a nice game, but not an outstanding, overwhelming game. And at his price point, there's just so many better options at quarterback, Ray. I think you probably agree that you don't have to pay up for quarterback, especially Brady, when they're basically slowing things down a little bit, and they'll be using Blunt more in the running game as a slower power, eat-up clock type of situation where they don't have to run up the score. Especially in this type of a matchup, I don't think they necessarily have to. They're playing good enough defense where they can keep teams under a certain amount, and they can play that type of, you know, control the clock type of game.
Yeah, and you mentioned Blunt. I would be really surprised. You know, the one concern I would have with him is in week 7, I believe, when they played the Jets and Deion Lewis was out, James White actually played way more snaps, and Blunt finished that game with -3 rushing yards, which is, you know, that's a concern. But obviously this Giants front.
That's the Jets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, different.
Obviously this Giants front is not the Jets. And so this sets up to have a game which is very similar to the game that they played against Washington last week, in which Blunt was just used as a battering ram to just beat them into submission. And I think it sets up well. I think that we're going to see fewer attempts from Brady than maybe we would think. And you know, I'm still okay with Edelman just because he gets so many red zone targets. He has 10 red zone targets over the last 4 weeks and 4 touchdowns, which is just incredible that he's being used so much down there. But at his price, he's more just a safe cash play than anything else. I will own Gronk in every lineup, absolutely every lineup, because he's $500 cheaper this week on FanDuel than he was last week. And there is some research that says when players go down in price, that's a great time to use them. And New York is terrible against tight ends, just awful.
Yep.
And so I will own Gronk everywhere. But like you said, I think if I'm taking a piece of this offense, I think it's Blunt and Gronk. And I think those are the pieces that I really want in this offense. And then on the New York side, I do think there is a little bit of value in the passing game, specifically Eli Manning. And I guess Odell Beckham, I'm not as excited about Odell Beckham because of the price, but especially in Eli Manning, I think there is a little bit of value simply because of how many passing attempts New England faces every year. Every game, they're facing the third most pass attempts a game. And so, you know, teams really have to go up and pass against them. Even last week when they absolutely dominated the Washington professional football team in time of possession, Kirk Cousins still had 40 attempts. So we're thinking Eli Manning gets to 40 attempts, and when Eli Manning's gotten to 40 attempts so far this year, he's done really good, and he's had 2 monster games in those games. So I really think there's some value in Eli Manning at only 7,400. He's back down in price as well, and so there's some value there. The problem is, you know, who do you pair him with? Because Odell Beckham's the second highest priced wide receiver at 8,800. He's above, you know, AJ Green and those guys. And I don't know about that. He's only $100 less than DeAndre Hopkins. And so do you pair him with him? Do you, you know, pinch your nose and pair him with Reuben Randall? I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of tricky to go to do that. But I like Eli, but I don't really know what to do with him. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if you're going to go, you could go solo Eli, unstacked, and you know, build your lineup around that if you want. I'm with you. I think Beckham will have a nice game. I think there's obviously opportunity there for this to be a potential shootout, but I don't see it. I don't see the pace being, you know, that aggressive. Again, we both agree that Blunt will have, you know, sort of a similar game to you know, last week against the Redskins. So I do think that, you know, Beckham will be the focal point for the defense. Certainly going to get some help. I mean, because I think he's the type of player that can be difficult. I mean, I know that Belichick respects the way he plays the game. So it's not going to be a one-on-one. We're not going to see Butler just stuck to him. We're going to see some help, safety help. So I do think that it sets up nicely for him. Listen, man, I just can't. I cannot bite the Reuben Randall bullet again.
Absolutely, it's nonsense. He gets the targets, and he's so inefficient and terrible.
He just sucks, man. He sucks. And listen, we'll jump forward to Devontae Adams is the same guy. It's just like
I was about to say the same thing.
I mean, like guys that you really want, and there are going to be people out there propping them up both this week because, you know, they're the number two options, and they won't be the focal point of the defense. There's opportunity, but they just both aren't very good.
They're the same player. I'm so glad you said it because I was going to say the exact same thing as soon as you said it.
Yeah, there's just so many players like that in the NFL, like these number twos that really should be number threes, and they just
Williams says hello.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like they just – they don't maximize everything that, I mean, you really would love for somebody, and maybe he has that. I haven't even looked at the numbers, but somebody like Marvin Jones, you would love to have Marvin Jones have the love and the targets, if you will, in an offense that some of these other guys get, because he'd probably be more efficient than some of these other bozos. Like, it just drives me nuts, but I don't want to go off on a tangent about Reuben Randle. I just can't do that. And I don't think anybody else in the passing game is somebody that I feel comfortable with target-wise that's going to make the most of this. I mean, if you want to get on Narrative Street and go Shane Vereen, revenge game, if you want to, fine. We've been down that road. I know Pat Thorman, if you're listening right now, Pat, once this thing gets posted, you're pulling out the last three hairs on your head right now. I can't go there with Shane Vereen. If anybody's going to stop somebody that knows somebody, it's going to be the Patriots that are going to be able to neutralize Shane Vereen. That's just how it goes. We've always lined up these ducks and said, well, it's prime for so-and-so to hurt the Patriots. And who better than Bill Belichick to know exactly how to take somebody out of a game? So I can't go there either. I think if anything, it's Beckham, but I think it's, you know, really temper your expectations, because I do think that they'll sell out to, and I don't think they're scared of Reuben Randle. I just think that they feel like they can stick a one-on-one on Reuben Randle and be fine. They'll definitely be committing extra help to Beckham, but he's going to get loose. He's going to get loose on one play. It's going to be a broken play. He's going to get loose. He's going to get a big play that maybe saves his day. But I just, at that price, I just don't want to pay for it. And you probably agree.
Yeah, I do, which is what makes it hard to use Eli. Like, that might be what it comes down to. I like Eli. I would like to use Eli at his price at quarterback 12. Yeah. I don't know who I would use him with. And that becomes a really big problem. And I think you already talked about Shane Vereen, but I imagine we're in agreement about not touching any of the Giants running backs. So we can move on from that. The second game we have is New Orleans at the Washington Professional Football Team. New Orleans 1-point road favorites. The total is 50.5. 84% of the money is on New Orleans.
Woo.
I know. It's going to be interesting to watch what this line does, because I do think you could get some pushback from the professionals on Washington and the kind of big money bets on Washington. So it's going to be interesting to see what this does. We have, you know, this is kind of the most evenly matched high game, at least as Vegas shows, you know, obviously only 1-point difference between these two. So it's going to be interesting. You know, this could be one of those games that goes back and forth. At least Vegas thinks it will. The most interesting, I guess, person from this game is Kirk Cousins, who I am going to be rooting against on Sunday a lot for multiple reasons. For one, I didn't have him as a streaming option in my waiver column, and I got some angry tweets about that. And for two, I'm not going to have him in any lineups, because I do not see the upside at all with Kirk Cousins. And I know for a fact that he is going to be very, very heavily owned. And so it's going to be one of those situations where I will just be crossing my fingers and hoping that I'm right. But basically the story on Kirk Cousins for me, and you could chime in a second, is just the upside's not there. He has 6 of his games this year have been for under 13 points. He has one game so far this season where he has multiple passing touchdowns. A lot of those terrible games came against quote unquote good matchups. Among them was the Giants, New England last week, who, even though New England's playing better defense, the volume alone means that people get opportunities, and he had the opportunities. His weapons are atrocious. Like, DeSean Jackson's not healthy. Pierre Garçon is a glorified possession receiver. Jamison Crowder's playing a huge role. I didn't even like Jamison Crowder coming out of college. I didn't think he would be anything, and they've thrust him into this role, and he's averaging 9 yards a catch and doesn't have any touchdowns on 50 targets. Jordan Reed's a good weapon, and he can utilize Jordan Reed in this game against New Orleans, who doesn't do well against tight ends. But until DeSean Jackson gets healthy, there's no deep threat. That's how you beat New Orleans. He can't throw the deep ball, or hasn't shown the ability to throw the deep ball this year. I don't think it's a good matchup. I don't think he has much upside, and he's going to be high owned. And so I'm easily fading, which might kill me. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. He is what we like to call on this podcast, Raymond, a crawl space player.
Absolutely.
Because his ceiling and his floor are micro. Like, there's that much space between his ceiling and his floor. You know, that's what he is. I mean, there's so many players at that price point or around that price point that have so much higher upside than he has, that why bother? I mean, you're just getting contrarian. And we'll talk about somebody in a little bit, I'm sure, that you and I both like, who's probably only about $400 more, and I know you know what I'm talking about, that has such a higher weekly floor and a much higher ceiling this week than Cousins. And I think people are just looking at the matchup and assuming that. Now, that said, I do like Reed. I do think that his price point at on DraftKings, 4,600, you could certainly slide him into your flex spot or even as your tight end if you like. And I think he's still going to have a good game. Last week was a little fluky. I did tell people last week with Jamie Collins out that Jordan Reed might have a better game. He did find the end zone. Wasn't the game that we thought he'd have. But I think there's a possibility for this week to be much better for him to bounce back.
I agree. That's the play.
Huge target game that we've seen recently from him, and pretty much throughout is when he's not, when he's healthy, I should say, he's usually targeted heavily, and I think that he will be in this matchup. So I do like him. But yeah, I'm with you, Cousins. I think it's look at the outlet, the main outlet. In this case, it's Reed. And bank on that production, and don't worry about the peripheral stuff, and don't worry about the quarterbacks. I think that is really fool's gold. If you're stacking Cousins and Reed, you're probably going to be burned by Cousins. I think you'll be fine if you just go solo Reed and mix him into your lineup.
And you said there are people just a couple $100 more expensive than him that you'd rather have, and I agree with that. And I have three people on this list that I'd like to talk about.
Yep.
There are people who are cheaper than him that I would be much – I would rather have Matt Cassel, who I think Matt Cassel is who people think Kirk Cousins is this week. I like him a lot more than Kirk Cousins.
Sure.
I like Josh McCown, who's actually $200 cheaper than Kirk Cousins on FanDuel. If Josh McCown starts against Pittsburgh – What has Josh McCown – what does Josh McCown have to do in his starts to make people think that he's a viable fantasy quarterback, especially in a good matchup against Pittsburgh? So
you're looking at
these situations. You're saying, oh, I'm going to play Cousins. I just don't see it. And I've been wrong before. I was wrong about D'Angelo Williams last week, and that hurt. But this is a situation I feel pretty confident in, and we'll see what happens.
I agree.
I do like the New Orleans side quite a bit of this game. Is there anybody over there you like?
Yeah, I do. I think you go right back to Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is playing at a high level. I think that obviously this matchup is really good for quarterbacks. I think Willie Snead, you dial him right back up again. He's going to be one of the main recipients. I think Ingram, people may be a little bit down on him after last week.
Absolutely.
But I think that that's a nice kind of contrarian play. I think you certainly could, add him into your lineup, and I think he'll be sort of lower owned this week. And as we saw with LeGarrette Blount last week, they were vulnerable. They had some injuries to the interior defensive line.
Yeah, Terrence Knighton should be back this week, but they were bad even before the New England game.
Right, right. So I think that sets up kind of nicely for Ingram to sort of, be that hammer back the way Blount was last week, and be able to sort of, especially if and I believe that New Orleans is going to have a decent lead in this game, that they'll be able to kind of hammer with Ingram. So I think that sets up nicely for him to have a nice volume game. So I do like those three for the most part. Outside of that, I'm not getting very cute. I think you could probably still feel okay about Watson, but I think that, I don't know. I'm not chasing that. I think he had his time in the sun. I think he's a raisin now. So.
You said about Ingram that they're going to be leading, and I think they will. I'm not confident in that. But the great thing about Ingram is he's one of those backs that it doesn't matter.
He's catching passes now. Yeah, so.
He had 27 of the 31 running back opportunities last week. C.J. Spiller played 9 snaps, and the reason that Sean Payton gave for C.J. Spiller playing such a small percentage of the snaps is that Mark Ingram is a better pass blocker than C.J. Spiller.
Yeah, he is.
Ingram is going to be on the field a lot the rest of the season. Someone asked me if they should trade Ingram for some. I think it was like a wide receiver too. And I guess this hasn't caught up to people yet. Mark Ingram is a top 5 running back. That's what he is, and that's what he will be the rest of the season in redraft leagues. So if you take that kind of rationale to daily, he's in a really good matchup, and it is on the road, which you don't like as much, but it's in a game that his team is slightly favored, and he doesn't come off the field. And so you're looking at a situation where no matter how this game flow works, you're going to get him. He's always a touchdown threat. He could have had, I believe, 2 touchdowns last week. It didn't work out. No, he was terrible the rest of the time. But those touchdowns go in. People feel differently about it. And he's 7,500 on FanDuel. He's running back 7. He's below D'Angelo Williams. He's just above Lamar Miller. I think that there's a lot of value in Mark Ingram this week, and I love him. And you mentioned Willie Snead. Willie Snead is still $700 cheaper than Brandon Cooks.
It's crazy.
And if you look at their stat line over the last 5 weeks, yeah, it's basically identical.
This is like Cooper and Crabtree, right?
We have a lot of this. We have Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders.
Right. They're so close, and they don't belong being that close together.
Yeah. Cooks and Snead, you can't tell the difference between those two. Cooks does have 2 more touchdowns over the last 5 weeks.
Fluky.
Exactly. Snead actually has more red zone targets over that time than Cooks does,
right,
which I'll take red zone targets as a predictor over touchdowns scored any day of the week. So when you're telling me, you know, when you're saying, oh, I got to pick between these two receivers, they're identical. Give me the one that's $700 cheaper.
Sure.
Absolutely. And so Breeze and Snead, 100%, I'll love to stack them up.
Exactly.
The next game we have is Jacksonville at Baltimore. Baltimore's 5.5-point home favorites. It's pretty even money on this. It's a little bit more on Baltimore, but pretty even money. I think that this is an absolutely terrible line. I will bet the Jaguars to win the game on the field.
Mm.
I think that this is an absolutely horrendous line. Jacksonville is set up in a way, their team, their offense is set up in a way, especially if Allen Hurns plays. Now that could change my opinion a little bit. He's dealing with a foot issue, but I think that they are going to score a ton of points this week. And I love Jacksonville. What do you think?
Absolutely. I tweeted this out Sunday night, because this is the kind of degenerates that we are, Ray. But when the week isn't even over, we're thinking about the next week.
We're still watching the Sunday night game.
We're thinking about the next week, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, for me, the GPP play is the stack is Bortles and Allen Robinson. I mean, I have to have them in my lineup. I just feel like it's just going to be a blow-up game. I mean, Robinson's been great. I think that Bortles – if you look at his numbers, again, we just talked about Kirk Cousins being that crawl space player, really hasn't blown up that stat line week to week. You know, Bortles has been that player that we talk about, the streaming player, the player that is in that scenario where the defense isn't really going to shut anybody down. They have to throw a ton. They have the weapons. They're ready to throw. They're not afraid to do that. And, you know, he's been consistent in that in terms of fantasy scoring. So this sets up beautifully. It's one of the worst, you know, secondaries in the league, if not the worst. For me, it just sets up beautifully. I mean, they have the weapons. Thomas is back. Again, if Hurns is good to go, it's even better. There's nothing holding them back from really kind of operating this offense in the full. And I love him. I think, again, at that price point, you know, he's so cheap, 5.6. You know, there's nothing wrong with that play. I mean, I'm okay. Let's put it this way, Ray. I'm okay with him in cash. Let's put it that way. And I have no fear of playing.
Absolutely.
And no fear at all. And the things you can do by just putting him in cash over somebody like Brady or even Aaron Rodgers, who's, you know, 7,500, which isn't bad. I mean, I think if you went Aaron Rodgers in cash, I'm okay with that. But you think about, you're saving $2,100 on DraftKings. You could do so much in your lineup with that savings, you know, all day. And I don't think the stat lines will be that much different. I think we still know that Green Bay is an efficient, you know, offense. They're playing against a bad defense this week in Detroit. That stat line could still be pretty much right around the same plateau as Jacksonville. Maybe even Jacksonville outscores them. And that wouldn't surprise me. And, of course, you paid $2,100 more for Aaron Rodgers for what? So I'd rather not attack that. I'd rather have Bortles and then maybe have some of that, you know, Green Bay, you know, peripheral guys like Cobb, who has a great matchup this week. I'd rather have him and Cobb and Allen Robinson than have to pay up for Rodgers and then have to pay for some middling wide receivers that we really don't feel super confident in.
And I don't think people really know how good the Allens have been, which is what I've taken to calling them. Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, both of them. Yep. Allen Robinson's the 10th best wide receiver in FanDuel scoring on a per game basis this year. Allen Hurns is the 15th best.
Yeah.
These are both legit wide receiver one with Allen Robinson and wide receiver high end wide receiver two with Allen Hurns. These guys are legit fantasy players, and you can get them for 7,500 and 7,300 respectively on FanDuel. And you can get Blake Bortles, who's a legit quarterback one, for 7,800. I could see a situation where I have all three of them in my main tournament lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And I could even throw in on the other side. I don't like Joe Flacco because Joe Flacco is one of those crawl space players too.
Yep.
But I could see a situation where I throw in Kamar Aiken, who is underpriced at 5,400 on FanDuel. He had 9 targets when Steve Smith was out against the Browns. He had half of Joe Flacco's targets went to him after Steve Smith left week 8 before the bye. He's going to get a lot of opportunity. I don't think that, you know, he's not any better than an average player, but if you're going to get all those opportunities and you're only $5,400,
yep.
you know, that's a really good cash saving option, especially in GPP. So I could have a situation where I really heavy stack this game and all three of my wide receivers are out of it. And I wouldn't feel bad about that at all. I think that there's a real big potential for this to turn into a shootout.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Listen, and to our listeners, you know, look at the last few big time GPP, you know, the winners. Look at the winners. Look what they've all sort of accomplished. They've had multiple players from shootout games on both sides of the football. Okay, they've had last week we had multiple Pittsburgh players, multiple Oakland Raiders players. Okay, and we've seen a pattern of that happening. So I'm glad that you touched on that. This could be that play this week. That game that turns into a big shootout, potentially into overtime. Oh my goodness! Imagine if it went into overtime. How glorious that would be!
All the glory!
All the glory! It's potentially it could go to that. Now, I love that you said that Aiken. Somebody you put somebody in there like Aiken. Even if you wanted to put somebody like Gilmore in as your tight end or as your flex, you get an opportunity to certainly make that happen. And I think you're absolutely right. I think this is one of the plays this week where you want players on both sides because it could go absolutely nuts. And you want a piece of that pie for sure. I will say this, though, to wrap this one up, Ray, my nicknames are for them are Allen Hitman Hearns and Sugar A. Robinson. So let's leave it at that. All right.
No, I like the Allens better.
Nice. Allens.
The Allens.
Where are the Allens?
That's a heel tag team duo.
Is it? Okay.
They come out dressed in they went to Harvard, the Allens. They went to Harvard, they come out dressed, you know, looking like Fred from Scooby-Doo. Like that'd be a great.
Nice.
Do you want to be the Allens? Do you think that Vince McMahon would sign us?
Nice. Yeah, come out with like, you know, scarves around our necks.
Yeah, exactly. Ascots.
Ascots or just sweaters, like, you know, like Izod sweaters.
And it'd have to be Izod.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's Izod.
Nice tight side part with lots of gel. There you go. The Allens.
This is a great plan. This is our next. This is what we'll do during the offseason. We're coming for you, Miz.
Frog splash off the top rope, man. That's the finisher. All right.
Do you like any of the? Do you like any of the running backs here? I mean, you have to love Yeldon's workload, because Yeldon, I mean, undisputed third down back, but they are, even though I don't like the line, they are 5.5 point road dogs, which kind of makes you worry a little bit. But like I said, I mean, he runs a ton of routes every game. He is the undisputed, you know, three down back in that for that team. So it's not like you're losing anything. Same thing kind of goes for Set. So is there any kind of love there?
I really don't. I just, you know, like the old John Nash thing with a beautiful mind. Not that I'm comparing myself, obviously. I am that crazy, but I'm not comparing myself to that genius. But, you know, when you see things light up and you're looking at the plays this week at running back, neither one really jumped out. Probably for the reason that we had just discussed, that I think this is a big passing week for both sides. And I think that maybe they play a smaller role. So I don't know that the volume is there. I think this is potentially a blow up game in that you know, the running backs have nice output, but I think there are running backs that I feel more comfortable with, especially in cash, maybe in GPPs, but I don't know. That's where I'm leaning for them. I think again, you and I both really love the passing game for Jacksonville, and that's kind of where my, even in GPPs and in cash, I'm leaning that direction. So I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm not getting greedy with that piece of the pie. I think that's kind of where it ends for me.
I do agree with that. I do look at it, and Justin Forsett's run the fourth most routes among running backs. T.J. Yeldon's run the 12th, and he missed a game. So you're looking at that, and you're saying, ugh, maybe they're involved. But it I think you're right. I think it's getting greedy. Maybe I take a shot on Yeldon at only 6,500 in a GPP, but I kind of doubt that I will. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, you're more likely to go with Bortles and Robinson or Hearns most.
Oh, likely. Yeah. And by more likely, you mean they will be in every lineup? Yeah.
Yeah.
So. There will be some angry tweets coming out if they don't perform. Our next game, you kind of referenced this one, Detroit at Green Bay. Green Bay is 11.5 point home favorites. The next two are really fun. The game total is 48. 85% of the money is on an 11.5 point Green Bay favorite.
Wow.
Can you say public? Because I certainly can. This game, I would expect the next two games. So the next game we'll talk about is Houston at Cincinnati, which is the Monday night game. And Cincinnati is 10.5, 11, 11.5, depends on what you're looking at, home favorites. And 75% of the money's on Cincinnati. Both these lines are going to have reverse line moves simply because professional bettors take 10-point dogs. They just do. I mean, they're not betting a team at that point. They're not betting on Houston, and they're not betting on Detroit. They're betting on a number at that point, because in the NFL, those big blowouts don't happen as often as maybe they do in, you know, college football and things like that. So there will probably be a bit of reverse line movement. I wouldn't read too much into it. I don't think it's anybody taking a stand on Detroit or Houston as a team. I think it's them taking a stand on the fact that 10-point underdogs win more often than they don't. And I think that's the thing. So we have Green Bay in this game has 29.75. That's their individual team total. It's the second highest of the week. You know, the dirty secret, Aaron Rodgers had a really good fantasy day. He kind of saved it in the second half. He ended up with 4 touchdown passes. He did not play well last week, and he has not played well in a couple weeks. And when you watch him, he's holding the ball for a long time. He's dancing around the pocket like a madman. Like, it's crazy some of the stuff that he's doing. He does not trust his receivers. He's missing open receivers because he's just not looking to that side of the field. I mean, he missed Randall Cobb on that last interception, and that's who he finally came back around, was trying to throw to when it was too late. He missed Randall Cobb again for what would have been a huge play. And so Aaron Rodgers is not playing well. I kind of wish that he hadn't had the 4 touchdowns last week, because if he's coming back off of 2 bad fantasy performances, this would be a perfect time to play him.
Right.
But as it stands now, he had 4 touchdowns. He's the highest priced quarterback. I just don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, and he's second highest on DraftKings. He's behind Brady, but he's at a discount. But I agree with you. I think the public will be all over him, especially on DraftKings. I think he's going to be very highly owned. And for that reason, I think the fact that the public will be off of Brady a little bit because they were disappointed, thinking last week was going to be a huge game for Brady, and obviously going off that performance with Green Bay last week, and the price drop basically for Rodgers, they're all going to be on Rodgers this week, pristine matchup. So again, I go back to what we were talking about earlier, at his price point, I like him, but I think there's going to be so much movement on him that I think that there's just so many opportunities for lesser ownership, similar production elsewhere, where you can truly be contrarian. And I feel comfortable with production of somebody like Blake Bortles, which we just touched on, somebody like Andy Dalton, who has a good matchup as well at home. Guys that are significantly priced lower than Rodgers that I feel that are going to produce at the same level as him, then I'm much more comfortable spending that money that way and not worrying about it. I mean, I really, truly, when I say in cash, I have no fear of these players because we have sample sizes now that support that these players can give you a decent floor every week. Even when they have a down game, they're not going to completely destroy you. And I think that's why I feel comfortable saying, I'd rather pay $6,500 and below than pay up for somebody at the top tier like Brady or Rodgers. In this case, we know the public's going to be all over. I think this is a chalk this week is Rodgers. And I say that very, very comfortably.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I feel kind of the same way about Brady. And that's what I think that they will both have good games. I don't doubt that Rodgers and Brady will have decent weeks. I bet they're both quarterback ones at the end of the week. But the price is so high that I think that you can get more value elsewhere. If price was not a concern, I would definitely play in a redraft. I would start Aaron Rodgers over Blake Bortles.
Sure.
But price is a concern in daily. And so that, you know, that makes it hurt a little bit. But there is value on this offense. Randall Cobb is a really good value at 7,700 on FanDuel. He has 21 targets total over the last 2 weeks and an offense projected to score the second most points. And he's $7,700.
Yep.
That is great value. And like I said, you know, he had the big play last week where he just basically decided he was getting into the touchdown, going to get in the end zone, and nobody was going to stop him. But like I said, he was missed on at least two other plays, one of which would have been a touchdown. The other one would have been at least a long play if Aaron Rodgers saw him. And those plays, you know, those obviously could have been huge. He looks like he's getting healthier. He's playing better. And then we talked about Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers loves this guy. I don't know why he does. I'm very confused by it, but he does love him. He talked about him over when Davante Adams was hurt. Aaron Rodgers every week would say, when we get Davante back, we'll be fine. It's like he had lost his blankie and that he just had to find it. When we get Davante back, we'll be fine. And so he gets Davante back, and then last week he gives him 11 targets. A lot of those were against Josh Norman. And to Davante Adams' credit, he made a few plays. So you can look at him at 5,800 and say, in GPPs, maybe I'm taking a shot just because I know that he is going to get the targets. But like you said, I think we both agree about him as a player. But what I'm saying is there's value on this offense, and we haven't even talked about James Starks yet.
Yep, exactly. And listen, I know you love to hear this every week too, Ray, because you love to look at the value from site to site. Cobb is $1,000 less on DraftKings than he is on FanDuel. So something to think about in terms of value.
And it's a PPR site. So, I mean.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. I'm with you. Listen, we talked about this. Adams is Reuben Randall. It's so hard to trust. I would say that there's potential for him to go off in this matchup. I think Green Bay at home, getting the giddy up back at late last week and sort of going back at home in a division matchup and against a bad team. I think this is where they get their mojo back this week. So it could set up for Adams. I just don't trust them at that number. I think I could. There are a few other players that I like at that number that I feel more comfortable with. Starks is interesting, though, because McCarthy already came out and said that Starks is the guy. They're going to mix in Eddie Lacy. But, you know, it feels like almost like a scenario where with Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill. One guy just looks so much better than the other guy right now. And I think that's probably what's going to happen is that even though McCarthy claims that they're going to mix in Lacy, that they feel Starks is running with much more, you know, urgency, more explosion, is better in the offense right now than Lacy is. So I think he's a nice play. I think he's a cheap play. I think he's got a good matchup. He's somebody that I'm certainly considering, maybe not in cash. Maybe I'm just, still, I like better options in cash, but I think in GPPs, he's somebody I'm thinking about. You know, I definitely want to try to squeeze him into my lineup. Even if you use him as a flex, if you like two other running backs and you want to squeeze him in as a flex, I don't think that's a bad option either. Because it's kind of a little bit of a contrarian play as a flex, because he certainly could be very, very active and close out the game as well, with the potential for this to sort of be a blowout. Because I really, before you get to the Lions, I think this is the game that gets Caldwell fired.
No, they're going to get crushed. I don't know if Caldwell gets fired because I don't really know what the point of that is. But of course, I don't know what the point of firing your GM.
Whenever you say the week before, he's still our head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
The word's still there.
Yeah, it's like what Jerry Jones would always say, Terrell Owens is still our he's still one of our players. He's still with us and still with the team.
Oh, you know? I like Terrell. You know, he's just a leader.
Yeah, he's just a leader. Exactly. And then you know, it's like don't bite any green bananas, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll see. But yeah, I don't like anybody for and listen, as much as I love Megatron, he's still a little dinged up, and I think that this is setting up to sort of be a really bad outing for Detroit, and they're just sort of chipping away at that infrastructure in the front office, and you know, they're sort of they're a rudderless boat right now, so I don't love them. I know there are people who are smarter than us who probably think, well, this is a perfect opportunity to play
I think that. So I, you know, like I really
it's
do
a,
think
it's,
this
a,
is a
it's a little guy on your shoulder that's smarter than you that's telling you to do that.
It's my contrarian side that just wants
to
love it.
I just won't because I just think this is an ugly situation, potentially ugly situation. But you're right. I mean, if there's a situation where it could happen, my problem with Green Bay, and I'll say this, is that this is not a team that puts their foot on the gas. Okay? This is a team that plays with a nice lead and hopes that they can bore you to tears and win that way towards the end of the game. They're not a team that, like, we're going to put up 45-50. They're just not that team. They haven't been for a long time. They're an efficient team, you know, especially in that offense. I mean, they haven't been this year. They've had their bumps in the road. But I think they're a team that's probably, like, you know, 28-17 type of win this week. And they're happy with that. You know, and it looks good on paper, and it looks efficient, and it doesn't look like a, you know, it looks like a beat down, but not really. You know, it's not this complete, like, we're going to keep racking up points and just embarrassing you. I just don't see that happening with them. So that's my only fear, is that there's not an opportunity for Detroit to just say, we're going to keep throwing the football in any circumstance. You know, 4th-and-1, we're going to throw. We're just anything, any scenario. I don't see that happening. And for me, that kind of makes it feel like they're limited ceiling in terms of scoring. So that's kind of why I'm not on anybody, really. I mean, you can make arguments for Ebron if you want. You could say lesser ownership for Calvin. That's fine. I would touch Stafford with a 10-foot pole. But that's kind of it for me.
Yeah, I would touch Stafford with a 10-foot pole. I would touch
Let's
him.
Let's hear it, brother.
I'd touch him with a 1-inch pole, which is,
hey,
which
dude,
is
keep,
all
keep
I got.
Your, keep, so, your penis, keep your penis out of this, man.
So I think that you know, they're you mentioned that they don't, you know, put their foot on the throat, and I agree with that. I mean, they haven't really blown out anybody this year. I don't know if they have the ability to blow out anybody, which is another conversation for another day.
Right, without Jordy yet, too. Yeah,
but the idea is that Stafford, I would be very surprised if he doesn't throw 40 times, simply because they throw a lot already, and they are going to be behind by some number at some point in this game. And Matthew Stafford on FanDuel is only $6,900, which means that he needs, 20 points to return decent tournament value for you? If he can get to 25, you're really looking at it. And the Green Bay passing defense has been absolutely obliterated the last 3 weeks. San Diego, they gave up 500 yards to Phillip Rivers and 2 touchdowns before the bye. They gave up 340 yards to Peyton Manning. Now, he didn't get any touchdowns, so it doesn't look as bad from a fantasy perspective, but they gave up 340 yards to this year's Peyton Manning. And then they were absolutely demolished by the deep ball against Carolina. Cam Newton, who really hasn't played well as a passer this year. You know, he's been doing a lot of great work with his legs, but he threw for 297 yards and 3 touchdowns with his receiving core and really utilizing that deep pass. So I think that this is a situation for Stafford to make it happen. Now there's lots of concerns. This is not a cash play by any stretch of the imagination. They perhaps have learned over the bye week what a hot read is and how to properly execute it. But until they do, people are just going to blitz them because they have no idea what to do with it. But, and so maybe Green Bay does that. Maybe Dom Capers comes out and does that. But I do think that there's some value here with him. I think there's some value with Calvin, although I don't quite like the price. And you mentioned the guy. Ebron's the guy. He still played a lot, even with Brandon Pettigrew back before the bye. He still ran 37 routes. He has 5 targets in every game that he's played the whole game so far this year. He has a red zone target in 3 of those games. So you're looking at a guy at 5,300 at tight end who has a pretty decent touchdown upside and who's playing for a team that's probably going to have to throw. So I think there's some value in that. Stafford, maybe Megatron, but especially Ebron. And one of my tournament lineups will certainly have that. And we'll see what happens. And it leaves open a ton of room to go and get those running back receivers.
Well, I'm gonna boost up your argument just a little bit because Stafford is 5,400 on DraftKings.
I mean, that's unbelievable. That is that less than Kirk Cousins? Do you know?
200 more than Kirk Cousins.
That's my hope.
But that's fine. And I'm with you on that. And I will say this: a couple of weeks back, if you recall, somebody who won the Millionaire Maker had Stafford as
a quarterback. He had a 4 touchdown game against Chicago, I believe.
Yeah.
And so, I was on him that week.
Right. So there's an opportunity there for sure.
Yeah, and that's all I say. And then in the running game, I mean, the one thing I would say about it, you're not using any of the running backs except maybe Theo Riddick at DraftKings because he's cash time. I mean, he's garbage time Jesus. He just controls garbage time. But just for future reference, Joik Bell is the starting running back in Detroit right now. It's not Ameer Abdullah, and Joik Bell will continue to be lower priced than Ameer Abdullah. And so we might find a week where that matters in the future. So Just keep that in mind.
Okay.
Our last game, Houston at Cincinnati. We did talked about it. Cincinnati's 10.5-point home favorites here. It's on Monday night. I have some concerns. The concerns you have about Green Bay is the concern I have with Andy Dalton in this game, in that Cincinnati has shown a willingness to limit Andy Dalton to really pack it in the second half. He had 27 attempts against the Browns last week. He had 24 attempts against the Chiefs with only 2 in the fourth quarter. He had 33 attempts against the Bills with 6 in the fourth quarter. I have some volume concerns with Dalton, but it sounds like you like him a little bit this week. Is that true?
I do like him, and those are very, very good points. But I will say this: there is something to be said for his efficiency.
Absolutely.
And those attempts, and maybe he's mirroring in a way some of what we've seen before, again, to that point of Aaron Rodgers. Like he's kind of mirroring in that sense that I'll get mine with my limited attempts, and has been very efficient. And we've seen that obviously with Eifert in the red zone. So I do like him. I mean, I find that, you know, they could certainly do most of their scoring in the first half. I think they could pad some running back stats in the second half. I am legitimately concerned about Jeremy Hill. I think he's running with some apprehension right now. I don't know what's going on with him.
Is he scared to fumble? Maybe. Like
I don't know.
Bench a guy after 2 fumbles, and then what does he decide? I'm just going to run the 2 RPOs.
He looks. I made a crack about this on Twitter. I said that was like a Scooby Doo episode where they pull off the mask and it's old man Trent Richardson under it, like, you know.
And you can make that joke for Eddie Lacy at this point.
Anybody, really. Yeah, anybody that's plotting at this point. And that's what he looks like. And obviously, Gio's kind of perfect. I mean, I've talked to people that are much more versed in the Cincinnati offense experience, if you will, like our buddy Joe Goodberry, who does a great job covering them. He feels that Gio's a better fit right now in what they're doing. So, you know, I continue rolling out Gio. He's $4,700 on DraftKings. I mean, he's another good play. I think he's somebody that could certainly still be involved in the second half, even though they have a lead. I think they'll still run him because I think he's running with more explosion. And they could certainly, you know, the way they're running the ball, the way that offensive line is moving right now, they could certainly move some earth for him and make some room for him to operate. So I'm still pretty good. I still feel really good with Gio if you want to use him this week, even in cash and probably a pretty good GPP play. I worry about AJ Green just because of the red zone love that Andy Dalton has for Eifert. I think that, you know, week to week it could kind of ebb and flow, but I think anytime anybody catches 3 touchdowns in a game, he's going to continue looking his way. I mean, that's his guy. That's his Gronk. And I think that with what you were saying, with the limited amount of targets, you know, that's what I worry about with AJ Green. I worry about that, you know, he's not going to find the red zone and there's not enough targets for him to have high-end PPR games like we see with somebody like Antonio Brown, with Roethlisberger, or we've even seen with Hopkins on the other side of this matchup. So that's my concern with Green. I think I'm okay with Eifert, but I think people will be chasing the Eifert points this week, and that may be somewhat of a letdown this week. So, but that's kind of how I feel. So I'm with you. I'm with you, Ray. I do like Dalton, but I think he's efficient with what he has to utilize. So I'm okay with him at his price point because I think he meets his return on investment this week. And even if he doesn't go nuts in the second half and have to throw.
Yeah, I can see that. And I have no problem playing Dalton this week. I'll probably leave him out of my lineups. And the way I will...
I will probably too, but I think he's not a bad play. Let's put it that way.
The way I'll get him in or get some piece of this offense is with, like you said, the deep plays, because Houston's given up the second most passing touchdowns of 20 more yards this year with 9, only behind the Giants. So they are a team you can beat deep, which obviously sets up well for both AJ Green and Marvin Jones. But AJ Green's $8,300 and Marvin Jones is only $5,400 and Marvin Jones
4.3 on DraftKings.
Exactly. I mean, he's so cheap. People just won't play him because he's volatile, but that's kind of what I like in a tournament lineup. You know, he might only give you 2 targets, but he also has legitimate top 5 of the week wide receiver upside. So I like Marvin Jones a little bit this week, and that's probably how I'll get a piece of this lineup. And then you mentioned the Gio and Jeremy Hill. I don't know if I'm touching it. I will say that Gio Bernard being cheaper on FanDuel, he's $300 cheaper, he's 6,300. I still think that that's crazy. They're playing similar number of snaps every week, and they have been for the last 3 or 4. But maybe Jeremy Hill has higher upside simply because he's the goal line guy. If they do just, you know, he had that 4-touchdown game or 3-touchdown game earlier in the year. If they do just decide to throw running backs at the goal line, then it's probably going to be him. But I don't think I really particularly like either one of them. So that's, you know, that's a little tricky. And you mentioned AJ Green, and this isn't really a DFS conversation. This is a season-long conversation. But I think the dirty little secret about AJ Green, and I said it last year, I said it the year before that when we were in the summers, about why I rank AJ Green lower than other people generally, is because AJ Green has his entire career been volume dependent. If you go and look at his point per target versus the other top quote unquote wide receivers, he's always been worse than those guys. And now he's in a situation where he actually has other weapons around him. And while that's good for him as a player, that's not good for his target totals. And he's on pace for 146 targets this year. He had 178 in 2013. He had 164 in 2012. Last year, if you prorated out, he would have had about the same number, but he didn't have such a great year. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that I think that's something really important to consider with AJ Green. If we are worried about volume, then perhaps AJ Green isn't the guy to go with. So do you like anybody on the Houston side?
Yeah, I like Hopkins. I think that people will be, you know, off them a little bit. I think this week, I think the pricing for some of the other players, I think people will be back on to Beckham this week. We talked about some of the other wide receivers that people will be on, but I think people will kind of be, I think his ownership will be modest. When I say modest, I don't think he'll be up in that, you know, he'll be in that middle tier, if you will. And I'm okay with that. I think he's still going to be highly targeted. I think that Cincinnati's going to have a nice lead in this one and that they'll have to keep throwing. We know that Houston doesn't matter what the game situation is. The script is always going to be to throw. They don't have a running game. So they're going to throw the football and they're going to throw to Hopkins. So I do think he'll be heavily targeted. So targets are gold for us in this situation, especially in PPR formats like DraftKings. So I do like him this week. I'm not as – I mean, I guess you could still make an argument for Nate Washington, but I'm not going down that road. There's players that are comparable at his price point right now that I'd rather have in my lineup.
I will make an argument. I agree with you a bit on Washington, especially with Cecil Shorts coming back. There is, you know, there is some the value there. He's $5,200 on FanDuel. He's actually $200 cheaper than Shorts. And if you're giving me the option between the inefficient player who catches deep passes and the inefficient player who catches 5-yard passes, I'll take the inefficient player that catches deep passes every day. I will say I do like Brian Hoyer a little bit this week in a stack with DeAndre Hopkins. I think that's a good play. I'm going to love Brian Hoyer the next 2 weeks. He gets the Jets, and then I forget what the second one is, but the next one is even better. And they have a great matchup down the stretch. So this is a really good situation. The Bengals, you know, their defense has been pretty good against quarterbacks this year, but Brian Hoyer just throws so much. The Texans throw more than any other team in the league. He is the 14th best fantasy points per game, and he played limited time in, I believe, 3 of those games. So you're looking at a guy who, when he's played, especially since he's come back and replaced Mallett, he's been a 20-point fantasy quarterback in, I think, every game. And so there's a ton of value there, and he's $6,800. So that's another guy that's right around Kirk Cousins' price, which I would much rather have. So that's a good situation, I think, for him. And that's one of my favorite stacks of the week, which brings us to stacks on stacks on stacks on stacks on stacks. So who do you like this week?
I got a few that I like. I mean, we already mentioned, obviously, the GPP stack that we love the most probably is Bortles and Allen Robinson. I think this is a week where
Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I think this is a week where Robinson too could certainly arguably fight for the number one wide receiver numbers this week. I think Bortles will be uncorked Bortles, if you will. Pun.
So we got Bortles after Bortles, drink until we overdose on our stacks on stacks on stacks.
That's it, man. I think they certainly could be, I think he'd be tournament winners this week. I mean, I think people will have them in the lineups if they do win tournaments this week. That's how strongly I feel about it. I like also, we talked about him, James Starks. I think Starks in the Green Bay defense. We like to have the defense in running back correlations. I think Green Bay at home, much better. I think that they're going to make things difficult for Detroit. And I do like that play, and I think Starks will kind of kill some clock in this one, too, at the end of the game, so it'll be a nice volume play. To that point, what else we got? Man, listen, I know this is so hard to say, but because people are so down on them this week, and because the pricing is right, because I finally looked at the pricing, it's 6.2K. I'm going to say this, okay? Peyton Manning, 6.2K. I know. I listen.
No. But
there's going to be a week. There's going to be a goddamn week where it just comes together. I don't know how high.
Can I say this in your defense? He's actually played a lot better than the numbers looked last week.
Yeah,
a lot better than the numbers looked
exactly.
Last week.
And Demaryius Thomas, 7.4. He's still being, you know, on DraftKings, he's still sort of being ranked, you know, at the almost sort of the middle to the bottom of the top wide receiver tier. So it does, when you add the two prices together, I mean, there's still kind of a bargain. And the matchup is favorable for them. So, again, it's a contrarian stack because I think a lot of people will be off Peyton. I think he's been really low-owned. More people will be on Demaryius Thomas, obviously, as a solo play. So I think if you go with that stack, I mean, I don't think it's just from a contrarian standpoint, I think it's going to be a low-owned stack. Let's put it that way. So what do you got, Ray?
I think we talked about all my stacks. I really like the Jaguars, Drew Brees and Willie Snead. I like a lot Stafford and Ebron and Brian Hoyer and DeAndre Hopkins. Those last two are definitely contrarian stacks. I have another contrarian stack I like a little bit with Matt Cassel and Dez Bryant. I said it earlier in the podcast, I think that Matt Cassel this week is who everybody thinks that Kirk Cousins is. And so if you can get a little bit of Cassel for even cheaper than Kirk Cousins, and you can match him up with Dez Bryant, who is still overpriced, I think, but that Tampa Bay secondary is actually that bad. And so I think that you're looking at a situation where Matt Cassel should have always been expected to get better. I mean, we forget that he got to this offense in what, week 7, week 6? So you're talking about a quarterback learning an entirely new offense. He should have always been expected to get better. This defense, the Tampa Bay defense, is actually that bad. And so you're looking at a situation where he has a really good weapon. He can pepper that weapon with targets. Dez Bryant sat out practice Wednesday, but he's going to be fine. No one really expects him to miss. So I think that that's a much more interesting stack than Kirk Cousins and whatever scrub you throw him together with. And then my other contrarian guy I like a lot this week is Alshon Jeffrey, who some people are going to see that St. Louis and maybe move off of him. Alshon Jeffrey has the third highest points per game so far this year. He just is – Jay Cutler looks nowhere else, and because there's no reason to look anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Alshon just gets open at will against whoever he is playing against. I have absolutely no fear of him against this defense. I do think the St. Louis defense is okay, but I have absolutely no fear of him. I think he's
going Alshon is always open above his head, bro.
No, and that's the thing. You can't do anything about it. What are you going to go out there and do? I had him. I was so sad when he got injured because I had him higher, I bet, in my rankings. I guess we'll see at the end of the year when Fantasy Pros does their thing. But I had him, I bet, higher in my rankings. I think I had him sixth. I thought he was going to be absolutely amazing. I drafted him in the second round of every redraft league, and then he got hurt. But we're seeing what he can be. And he's a free agent after this year. So it's going to be – he and Matt Forte are free agents after this year.
Mm-hmm.
Something to keep in mind. It'll be really interesting to see what they do with these two guys. I can't imagine they let Alshon go after they just let Brandon Marshall go.
One more to slide in here, Ray, before we get to the contrarian plays. If he plays, Josh McCown and Gary Barnage.
Absolutely. Josh McCown – again, another guy.
It's a lock.
Josh McCown's cheaper than Kirk Cousins.
Game. Yeah, lock for him to have a huge game. Exactly.
So who do you like on the contrarian side?
Contrarian side, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different plays that we had talked about. Listen, they're not like he's not a huge contrarian play anymore, but he's a contrarian play because he plays on Thursday night, and that's Eric Decker. Still ridiculously cheap. I think a lot of people avoid, you know, a lot of sharps avoid Thursday night football because – the public bets heavily on that, but I think that's probably a mistake this week. So I think Decker at his price point on DraftKings, 5.3, essentially, he's still a value for me. We talked about if there's going to be a shootout, somebody like Crockett Gilmore at 2,800 on DraftKings, I think he's going to find the end zone. So I do like him this week. And I did touch on this a little bit earlier. But, you know, I'm gonna flip that one because since I went with Crockett Gilmore, I'm going to go with Joe Flacco. I did say that his ceiling and his floor are close together. But I'm with you, man. I think this Jacksonville-Baltimore game is going to be a little bit of a shootout. So at 5,500 in DraftKings, you know, we're staying – you and I are both in that same mindset. We like that 6,000 – 6,500 and under quarterback. I think Flacco's probably going to be 0% owned. And if this becomes a shootout, who cares who he's throwing to? Somebody's going to catch those damn touchdowns. So it could be a surprisingly big game for him. And he has a few here and there every once in a while. And again, he's going to be so low owned. That's the definition of a contrarian play.
I'm going to give a short list of quarterbacks who are cheaper than Joe Flacco on FanDuel.
That's okay.
Derek Carr.
FanDuel, I don't know. You know, it's totally different, but go ahead.
Derek Carr is the same price. Eli Manning's $100 cheaper. Marcus Mariota's $200 cheaper. Tyrod Taylor is $300 cheaper. Jay Cutler's $500 cheaper. Matthew Stafford's $600. I don't get it. People love Joe Flacco.
It's not the same on DraftKings though.
Yeah, I get that, and that's, you know, you can look at those kind of arbitrage plays between the two sites, and I do that definitely. But I just Joe Flacco's pricing and his ownership. And
by the way, all the players that you named will be higher owned though.
I think you're probably right about that.
So if we're saying contrarian, he really is contrarian. So
yeah, I think you're probably right about that. But I hate Joe. Is it because of the McDonald's commercial? Is that why people love him?
Yeah.
Is it because he talked about how much he loved chicken McNuggets or his hair, his beautiful new hair? Is that what people?
I don't know. I don't know. But I'm with you. But listen, hey, to that point again. To Jacksonville, Baltimore. If this turns into a shootout,
you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Then he's good for three touchdowns. I mean, he has to be in that scenario. So we'll see how that plays out.
So that does it for us. Thanks for listening this far. Make sure if you're listening to us for the first time, you give us a subscription, rate and review the podcast. That helps other people find it. And we really appreciate you listening. You can follow me on the Twitter at RM Summerlin. You can follow him on the Twitter at Rumford Giant. And as always, if you hear someone dropping knowledge, what would Christopher Walken do?
Pick it up if you want to, or maybe you don't. Just leave it there. You don't have to pick it up at all. Whatever.